Chapter 16. Roy awoke promptly at 2 a.m. and dressed quickly. Removing the letter opener from its hiding place under his mattress, he groped his way across the darkened bedroom to the locked door. He felt along the doorframe, finding the raised edges of three metal hinges that protruded on the interior side. Sliding the letter opener into the top hinge, he carefully pried out a long metal pin that held the interlocking hinge together. Removing the pins from the other two hinges, he gently lifted the door and pulled it into the room laterally as the exterior deadbolt popped out of the opposite doorframe. Roy then crept into the hallway and pulled the door back against the frame so that upon a casual glance it still appeared closed and locked. Finding the hallway empty, he tiptoed to Teresa's room next door. Unlocking the latch, he opened the door to find her sitting on the bed, waiting. "You did it," she whispered, seeing his figure in the light from the hallway. Roy flashed a thin smile, then nodded for her to follow. They crept into the corridor and moved slowly toward the main foyer. A row of low-wattage footlights provided muted lighting along the hallway, which by all sight and sound appeared completely deserted. Teresa's rubber-soled shoes began squeaking on the polished marble floor, so she stopped and removed them, continuing on in her stocking feet. The foyer was brightly illuminated by a large crystal chandelier, which prompted Roy and Teresa to hug the walls and approach cautiously. Roy knelt down and scurried over to a narrow window which fronted the main doorway. Peering outside, he turned to Teresa and shook his head. Despite the late hour, there was still a pair of guards stationed outside the front door. They would have to find another way out. Standing in the foyer, they found themselves at the base of an inverted T. The guest rooms had been to the left, and the occupants' private rooms were presumably to the right. So they crept instead down the wide main corridor that led to the study. The house remained still but for an old grandfather clock ticking loudly in the hallway. They reached the study and kept moving, tiptoeing past the main dining hall and a pair of small conference rooms, all decorated with an impressive collection of Song and Jin Dynasty antiques. Teresa scanned the ceilings, searching for additional video camera monitors, but saw nothing. A whispering sound played on her ears, and she instinctively clutched at Roy's arm until he winced in pain from her sharp fingernails. They both relaxed when they realized the sound was only the wind blowing outside. The corridor ended in a large open sitting room with floor-to-ceiling windows on three sides. Though there was little to be seen at night, Teresa and Roy could still sense the dramatic view offered from the mountain perch, which overlooked the rolling steps of the valley below. Near the entrance to the room, Roy spied a carpeted stairwell that ran to a lower level. He motioned toward the stairs, and Teresa nodded, following him quietly. The thick carpet was a welcome relief to her feet, which were beginning to tire of the hard marble floor. As she reached a turn in the stairwell, she looked up to face a huge portrait of an ancient warrior. The man in the image sat tall on a horse wearing a fur-trimmed coat, orange sash, and the classic Mongol bowl helmet. He stared at her triumphantly through gold-black eyes. His mouth showed a wisp of a grin, exposing sharpened teeth that reminded her of Borjin. The intensity of the image made her shudder, and she quickly turned her back on the painting and moved down the next set of steps. The landing opened onto a single corridor, which ran away from the house a short distance. One side of the corridor was windowed, which looked out upon a large courtyard. Teresa and Roy peered out the nearest window, faintly observing a freestanding structure across the way.
"There must be a door to the courtyard along here," Roy whispered. "If we can get out here, we ought to be able to move around the end of the guest wing and sneak toward the garage." "It's going to be a long way for Jim to hobble, but at least there don't seem to be any guards around here. Let's find that door." They moved rapidly to the end of the corridor where they at last found an exit door. Teresa tested the unlocked door, half expecting an alarm to sound when the latch released, but all remained silent. Together, they crept into the open courtyard, which was partially illuminated by a few scattered pathway lamps. Teresa slipped her shoes back on soon after her feet touched the cold ground. The night air was brisk, and she shivered as a chill breeze blew through her light clothes. They followed a slate pathway that angled across the courtyard toward a stone structure at the rear of the property. It appeared to be a small chapel, though it was circular in shape with a domed roof. Its stone composition differed from the marble used in the main house, and it had a decidedly ancient look to it. As they drew close, Roy bypassed the tunneled entrance and followed its curved walls toward the rear. "I think I saw a vehicle in back," he whispered to Teresa, who hung tight on his heels. Reaching the back of the stone building, they found a covered bay enclosed by a low split-rail fence. Once a corral, the interior was crammed with a half-dozen old horse-drawn wagons, their wooden beds stacked with shovels, picks, and empty crates. From beneath a canvas tarp poked the front wheel of a dust-covered motorcycle, while in the back of the bay, Roy studied the car he had seen across the courtyard. It was a huge old antique, layered with decades of dust and sitting on at least two flat tires. "Nothing here that's going to get us to Ulaanbaatar," Teresa remarked with disappointment. Roy nodded. "The garage on the other side of the mansion will have to be our ticket." He froze suddenly as a shrill whine carried near on the breeze. It was the neighing of a horse, he recognized, not far from the courtyard. "Behind the wagon," he whispered, pointing to the corral. Dropping to the ground, they silently crawled through the rail fence and slithered beneath the nearest wagon. Lying behind one of the wagon's old-fashioned wooden wheels, they cautiously peeked through the spokes. Two men soon appeared on horseback, preceded by the clopping sound of horse hooves on the slate walkway. The horsemen curled around the stone building, then paced alongside the corral and stopped. Teresa's heart nearly stopped when she caught sight of the men. They were dressed in nearly the same garb as the warrior in the hall painting. Their orange silk tunics reflected gold under the courtyard lights. Baggy pants, thick-soled boots, and a round metal helmet with horsehair spike completed their warrior appearance. The two men milled about for several minutes, just a few feet from where Teresa and Roy lay hidden. They were so close, Teresa could taste the dust kicked up by the horses as they pawed at the ground. One of the men barked something unintelligible, and then the horses suddenly bolted. In an instant, both horsemen disappeared into the darkness amid a small thunder of hoofbeats. "The night watchman," Roy declared as the sound of the horses vanished. "A little too close for comfort," Teresa said, standing and shaking the dust from her clothes. "We probably don't have much time before they make another pass. Let's see if we can skirt around the other end of the main house and try for the garage." "Okay, let's hurry. I don't want to meet up with those guys again." They scrambled through the rail fence and headed toward the guest wing of the complex. But midway across the courtyard, they heard a sharp cry and the sudden gallop of horses. Looking back in horror, they saw the horses charging them from just yards away. The two horsemen had quietly backtracked to the stone building and broke when they saw Teresa and Roy sprinting across the courtyard. They both froze in their tracks, unsure whether to run back to the main house or flee the courtyard. It made no difference, as the horsemen were already at the edge of the courtyard and had them plainly in view. Teresa watched one of the horses rear up in the air as the rider suddenly yanked on the reins, pulling the horse to a standstill. The other rider continued on at a gallop, directing his mount to where Teresa and Roy stood. Roy saw immediately that the horseman was going to try to bowl them over. A quick glance to Teresa revealed fear and confusion in her eyes as she stood frozen in place. "Move!" Roy shouted, grabbing Teresa's arm by the elbow and flinging her out of harm's way. The horseman was nearly upon them, and Roy barely managed to sidestep the charging mount, the rider's stirrup grazing his side. Regaining his balance, Roy did the unthinkable. Rather than looking for cover, he turned and sprinted after the charging horse. The unsuspecting horseman galloped a few more yards, then slowed the horse and pivoted it to his right, intending to make another charge. As the horse wheeled around, the horseman was shocked to find Roy standing in his path. The seismic engineer reached up and grabbed the loose reins dangling beneath the horse's chin and jerked them sharply downward. "That's enough horseplay," Roy muttered. The rider had a blank look on his face as Roy fought to restrain the trained horse, the animal heaving clouds of vapor from its nostrils.
"No!"
The piercing cry came from Teresa's lips in a volume that could have been heard in Tibet. Roy glanced at Teresa, who lay sprawled on the ground but appeared in no imminent danger. Then he detected a faint object whisking toward him. A vice-like grip suddenly squeezed his chest while a fiery sensation started to burn from within. He dropped to his knees in a wave of lightheadedness as Teresa immediately appeared and cradled his shoulders. The razor-tipped arrow fired by the second horseman had missed Roy's heart, but just barely. Instead, the projectile penetrated his chest just outside his heart, puncturing the pulmonary artery. The effect was nearly the same, with massive internal bleeding leading to imminent heart failure. Teresa desperately tried to stem the flow of blood from the arrow's entry point, but there was nothing she could do about the internal damage. She held him tight as the color slowly drained from his face. He gasped for air before his body began to sag. For a moment, his eyes turned bright, and Teresa thought he might hang on. He looked at Teresa and painfully gasped the words, "Save yourself." And then his eyes closed, and he was gone.